I closed with the 26th verse of the first chapter of Romans, and I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to this section in Romans. I would like to go on from here. Having seen from Romans 1, 18 through verse 32 of that chapter, that Romans 1, 18 to 32 capsulizes for us the idolatry of the satanic system and shows it to us in all its naked horror, and it indicates what happens to individuals who do not like to retain God in their mind. And verse 21 spoke about they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They didn't want to retain God in their mind. They didn't glorify God. And the word glorify stems off of the root worship, and nor were they thankful. And then verse 26 was the last verse I believe we closed with. For this cause, or because of this, because they worshiped idols and not the true God, God gave them up. This is the same as in verse 24 I told you, where it's the Greek word parodidomi, spelled P-A-R-A-D-I-D, long O-M-I, which literally means hand over to the power of another. They did not like to retain God. They didn't keep the true God. So God gave them up because they gave Him up, and He just had to allow them to be taken over by another power. God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections literally is passions of infamy. Another word is lust. For even their women did change the natural use into. And the word into is the Greek word eis, E-I-S, meaning for. And it happens to be the accusative case, which literally means they changed the natural use, reaching out unto that which is against. And the word against is the preposition para, P-A-R-A, meaning beside or beyond nature. God gave them up because they walked away from God. And then their women changed the natural use, reaching out unto that which is beyond or beside that which is natural. I think every one of us would know what the natural use of a woman would be. It certainly is never lesbian. That's not natural use. And the reason they went this way is because they worshiped idols, not the true God. Now, tonight, we go to verse 27. Because likewise, verse 27, and likewise, also the men, is King James. The text reads, and likewise the men also. We have a little publication on the book table entitled Also. I think you ought to get a copy of that, and then you take your Bible and you put the also every place I got it in the book, because everyone's right. It's out of order here. Won't fit the text. It has to. And likewise, the men also. Not also the men, but the men also. Leaving the natural use of the what? Woman. Leaving the natural use of the woman. God made man for woman and woman for man. God never made woman for woman or man for man. They left the natural use of the woman, and they burned in their lust. In their lust. I handled that a little while ago as passions of infamy. Remember? Vile affections in 26. Passions of infamy. Lust. Burned in their lust. One toward another. men with men, working that which is unseemly, working that which is not like it should be. It's not right on. It's messed up. And receiving. The word receiving is the word meaning back in full. And receiving in themselves, back in full. That recompense, the word recompense is retribution of their error. Receiving in themselves that retribution of their error, their weakness. So far, that's all the further I can go. I have no text to document it beyond this. But I just know from working the word and the great heaviness of this, it just is not error, because I just know from the context that they themselves and receiving in themselves, back in full, receiving in themselves that retribution of their stupidity, the damnableness of man allowing himself to get worse than a beast. Worse than a cow or a bull. You don't see a bull riding a bull too long. Or a cow riding a cow. You'll see tonight in Romans that the beasts have more sense than man does when he walks away from God and starts serving other gods. Because the lowest thing in the whole world is the greatest thing God ever made, mankind. But when man walks away from God, sir, he is worse than any animal. You'll see it tonight before I finish this chapter. They received recompense, retribution of their error, which was meat, which was what they logically deserved. Verse 28. And even as they did not like, the words did not like is the Greek word dokimazo, spelled dokimazo, long O. They refused to accept. This word, if you look at its spelling, later on in this verse, you have the word reprobate mind. Do you see that in verse 28? The word for reprobate is A-D-O-K-I-M-O-S. The first one is a verb, the second one an adjective. Same word, but you don't see that in the King James, right? Did not like the word dokimazo. And the other word for reprobate is adokimos. Same root. If you would translate, they refused. Did not like, refused. They refused to retain, to accept God, the true God in knowledge. God gave them up or over to a reprobate, what? Mind. And the play is upon beautiful words. When a person refuses the true God and refuses to be thankful, to worship Him, to be thankful, he, that man, ends on the refuse pile. The one is spelled with a D. Refused is spelled with a D. They refused, and God gave them up to the refuse. R-E-F-U-S-E. They refused to retain God in knowledge. They refused to accept the knowledge of the true God and live that way. Why? I think John 3:19. makes a statement that would be very apropos here. Very simple. This is condemnation, verse 19. That light is come where? Into the world. And men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? I think John 3:19 ought to be put right in the margin here on this great truth in verse 28. Now it says, God gave them up in verse 28. You see that? God gave them up. If you go back to verse 26, it says God gave them up. See it? First part of the verse. Go back to verse 24, God gave them up. Three times, this is the third time it's used in Romans 1, where it says God gave them up. And the word up is the word over. God gave them over to the refuse. He gave them over to the junk pile. You know, the refuse place where the carrion is burned. The stinky place outside of the city limits where all the refuse is burned. They refused to put God in their knowledge and worship the true God. So God had to give them up, and they ended up on the refuse pile. It means literally men and women devoid of judgment. Reprobate. Devoid of judgment. It means they have an unsound mind. In plain language, they are insane. They are nuts. If you don't agree with it, you argue with God and His Word. Most people do. Not me. This is God's Word. That tells me that when we get to the homos and the lesbians, we're dealing with insane people. They are not sane. They have an unsound mind. They are devoid of judgment, which literally means they cannot make a true or right judgment. And you want me to have them teach my kids in school or any other place? And of course, I'm dealing with the most difficult thing in our country today, because if there's any one thing being pushed on us, and that is the homos and the lesbians. That's what's being pushed. And the second thing being pushed on us is roots. One's as bad as the other, almost. My roots are not in France, where my ancestors came from. We came from Werwell, France, D-Day. My ancestors were all Huguenots under the French governor and rulers. Then they persecuted us, and a lot of my family was killed. So they moved themselves out to Switzerland, England, and Germany. The Switzerland side, I don't know anything about. They're all dead. The Harcourts of England are Werwells. The rest of our clan moved into Germany, into the Munster area. And that's where my immediately grandfather and grandmother and those came from. You don't hear me talk about my roots back in Germany. I'm a citizen of the United States. I love this flag. I stand for it. I don't stand for everything the government does, but I stand for the freedom that that flag stands for. That's why it flies every place I teach. I've been at places where I've seen the flag trampled underfoot. I've seen it burned. I don't like it. And I got men in the military here tonight who don't like it. And I got other people here who don't like it. We're going to make that flag continue to stand for something. If you believe God's word and you walk on God's word and you got an ounce of steel in your soul left, but if you're all sold out to letting the adversary take over and you no longer care, you no longer want to get involved, well, your children and your grandchildren will pay a miserable price. I don't want my children or grandchildren to pay that if I can help it. I want God's word that made our country great I don't talk about roots. My root is the United States of America. This is where I live. This is where I am. This is where I hold forth God's word. Has nothing to do with where I came from or the color of my skin. Has everything to do. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and I'm proud to be one. You bet your life. Yeah. And generally, many times when I'm in a place, we salute the flag of the United States of America. And, you know, republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we salute it by putting the Bible on our heart, not our hand. A man's hand don't mean a lousy thing generally today, but about the word. About the word. This is what we believe. It keeps the freedom of the United States. And if you've ever read the first 10 amendments and a few other things about our Constitution, that's the law of the land, as the Bible is the law for men and women. It's the word of God for men and women who want to know the will of God. This is God's textbook, like the Constitution and the first 10 amendments, basically, of the United States are the law of the land. Verse 28, devoid of judgment, reprobate mind. A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word convenient is the Greek word spelled K-A-T-H-E-K-O. Long E, long O. The word not is the word may, meaning absolutely not. M-E is the Greek word, meaning absolutely not. Do those things which are absolutely not convenient. Meaning the way it was meant to be. The way it was meant to be. The same word is translated F-I-T, fit, in Acts 22:22. Now the great 29th, 30th, and 31st verse. 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. That's the 29th verse. The 30th, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and the last one is unmerciful. Having just read, do those things which are not the way it was meant to be, verse 29 says, being filled with all, what? Unrighteousness. They have a reprobate mind, devoid of what? That's why they're filled with all, what? Unrighteousness. Being filled with is the accusative plural. It's masculine. Perfect participle passive. And it can literally be translated having been filled or filled to capacity with. Filled to capacity with all what? Unrighteousness. Overflowing into the results which are then enumerated. The root of these words is the root plerako, spelled P-L-E-R-O-O. Long E and last O long. It's plerako, not pletho. Plerako is to be filled to capacity with all unrighteousness, filled to the full. The next word is the word fornication in the King James. There is not another manuscript outside of the one that they translated King James out of it that has the word in it. So we delete the word fornication from the text. Filled to capacity with all unrighteousness which overflows into wickedness. You have wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. Do you see those three? The word wickedness, class, is the Greek word poneria, spelled P-O-N-E-R-I-A. Wickedness. P-O-N-E-R-I-A, poneria. It means utter depravity via an act of the mind. That's the word. Via an act of the mind. By my act of the mind, I have not retained the true God, nor worshiped the true what? So I have worshiped something else, and that is this word, poneria. Act of the mind. Total depravity. The word covetousness. By the way, there is a complete rundown now of 21 words that are given. And every one, sir, is downhill. Total defeat. The word covetousness is the Greek word spelled P-L-E-O-N-E-X-I-A, which equals a desire for more. Covetousness is fraud, extortion. This in Colossians chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 5, is described as idolatry. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. In Ephesians chapter 5, 5:5. For this we know, that no whoremonger, the word whoremonger is idol worshiper, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is or which is an idolater, hath any inheritance, the kingdom of Christ and of God. Boy, you see how this thing all ties into idolatry? Worship and serve the creature, the body, the creature, more than the Creator. It's worship. This word, covetousness, wickedness, all center around idolatry. Maliciousness, the third one. The Greek word there is the word kakia, spelled K-A-K-I-A. It's a noun, and it literally means moral evil. Moral evil, which is vicious, depravity in all forms. That's the meaning of that word. Not just depravity, but what kind of depravity? Vicious. Beating with whips, chains, other very, very hurtful things. Vicious depravity in all forms. Now the next one is full of envy. See, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness are like the three put together, all come off of the poneria. Now, after that, you move to full of what? Envy. That word full is not the word pleroko or pletho. That word for full is the word mestos, M-E-S-T-O-S. Mestos. Envy is the word phithonos, P-H-T-H, P-H-T-H, O-N-O-S, phithonos, mestos phithonos, full of envy. It literally means the mind is stored with envy, full of. The mind is stored full of envy. And the word envy is the same word as the word jealousy. And jealousy in the senses world is many times referred to as the green-eyed what? Monster. I have never known of a murder being committed where a person willfully murders unless he's possessed. It's a devil possession, and there's another devil spirit there besides murder, and it's always this envy. That's the other spirit, it's always there. Their mind is stored with. And the word stored with can be translated possessed. Their mind is possessed with what? Envy. That's jealousy. In Galatians chapter 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Wow. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Quite a listing there. Envy is among that group. Murder. I told you the word for envy was P-H-T-H-O-N-O-S. The word for murder is only P-H-O-N-O-S. Phthonos is envy. Phonos is murder. This could be a figure of speech, which means rhyming words. I'm not sure. But I am sure that envy and murder package in the same cellophane. Package in the same. The next one in 29 is debate. Debate is strife. The Greek word is eris, E-R-I-S, literally meaning wordy wrangling and contentious rivalry. Murder, debate, strife, wordy wrangling, contentious rivalry. The next word is the word deceit. The Greek word is the word dolos, D-O-L-O-S. It's a very interesting word, because that word is used in Greek literature regarding the bait that's used to catch an animal. So this word, deceit, literally is used here relative to the adulteration of the truth, used to deceive and catch men. That's what deceit is. Malignity is literally mischief, but it's mischief with a punch. Heck, a good one. The Greek word is the word K-A-K-O-E, long E, T-H-E-I-A. It is the same basic root as the root for malice. We had it a little while ago in maliciousness, K-A-K-I-A. You see that? In maliciousness. This word, kakothia, is from the root kakia, K-A-K-I-A, which means deliberate evil intentions to others. That's what malignity means. The next word is the word whispers. The Greek word there is the word P-S-I-T-H-U-R-I-S-T, long E-S, P-S-I-T-H-U-R-I-S-T, long E-S. This word literally means secretly conveying detrimental information about the character and welfare of others. Secretly whispers. Secretly conveying detrimental information about the character and welfare of others. Verse 30, the first word is backbiters. The Greek word is the word katalalos, spelled K-A-T-A-L-A-L-O-S. Means evil speakers publicly. Open evil speaking. Open evil speaking publicly about you or the true God or the greatness of God's word, openly backbiters, openly. They don't hide it. They are evil speaking openly. Next one is haters of God. The Greek word is theostugus, theostugus, haters of God. Literally, they hate anything that is true. That's the word. Despiteful is the next word. Despiteful is the Greek word spelled H-U-B-R-I-S-T-long-E-S. H-U-B-R-I-S-T-E-S, long E. Meaning insolent, injurious. Injury done by word or deed is the word despiteful. In 1 Timothy 1:13, it's translated injurious. 1 Timothy. Just read it to you. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious? That's this word despiteful in verse 30. Literally, it ought to be translated outrageous in personal insults. That's despiteful. Outrageous in personal insults. Proud is the next word. The Greek word is spelled H-U-P-E-R-E. P-H-A-N-O-S. It means haughty. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's associated with boasting. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, and then what? Boasters. Proud. Proud. Blasphemous. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And it means haughty or proud, associated with boasting, conspicuously so. Conspicuously so. The next word is boasters. The Greek word for boasters is A-L-A-Z-O-N. Long O. Literally meaning loudmouth. Loudmouth. Quack. False pretender is its meaning. Inventors of evil things. The Greek word is spelled E-P-H. E-U-R-E-T-E-S, evil things, is the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. They're inventors of evil things, embracing every form, moral and physical. Then is disobedient to parents. The Greek word is the word spelled A-P-E-I-T-H-E-S. Epithes. And it literally means they would not be persuaded by the parents. That's what it means. They do not listen to true parental guidance without understanding. Is verse 31. Without understanding. Greek word is A-S-U-N-E-T-O-S. Without understanding. A fool. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. Sound what? So if we're without understanding, we have to have what kind of a mind? That's why it's that Greek word meaning a fool. Then, that's not all. Next is covenant breakers. This word covenant breakers is basically the same word as the word without understanding. It is spelled, the Greek word is spelled, A-S-U-N-T-H-E-T-O-S. It means trustless, faithless, trustless. You cannot what? Trust. That's what it means. Agreement breakers would be another, not as strong a word as trustless. Now, without natural affection, this is very, very tremendous. It is the word A-S-T-O-R-G-O-S, astorgos. Without natural what? Affection. Without natural affection. They don't have natural affection. An animal has natural affection. This word is referring to love for children and family. They're without natural affection. Astorgos. Don't want children. Homo. Lesbian. Don't want what? But they want to play. You know, you've heard about the old stork story. Everybody laughs at, but you know, sometimes it's not good to laugh until you're smart enough to know what you're laughing about. The word stork, the animal, the bird, is the Greek word storge, astorgos, comes from this word. The stork takes such beautiful care of its children. Of all the animals, they say that none is any better than the stork. And it has that love, that tenderness, that natural affection for its children. Now maybe you understand why parents used to say the stork brought you. It's not as far off in love and affection. It's a figure of speech, meaning it was the love and the affection of mommy and daddy who wanted a child to love and to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The opposite is without natural affection. Even a monkey doesn't forsake its kids. It takes a degraded human being to do that. Implacable. The word implacable in this particular Greek text from which the King James was made is the Greek word aspundos. It means without respect for treaties or agreement. You might as well quit wasting your time signing a paper, because they will never keep any of their promises, any of the treaties or agreements they will not keep. This particular word, however, is deleted by some of the major manuscripts. So I do not know what to do with it. I will leave it set as is. Unmerciful is the Greek word spelled A-N-E-L-E-E. Second E is long. M-O, long O-N. A-N-E-L-E-E. Long E, M-O, long O-N, which means pitiless, cruel, not desirous of relieving pain of others. That's this word, unmerciful. Not desirous of relieving pain of others. Cruel. Let you lay there if you're raped. Someone was attacked by a hoodlum someplace. Was it New York? Everybody saw it. They just let the woman lay there, tramped on, raped, everything else. That is unmerciful. Class, this verse 29, 30, and 31 leaves a sensible man almost breathless, being filled with all unrighteousness, and then it gives 21 of them. 21. We'll do verse 32. who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Who knowing the judgment of God, knowing is the Greek word epigenosko, E-P-I-G-I-N-O-S-K-O, both long O's. To know thoroughly is epigenosko, to know thoroughly, who knowing thoroughly the cause of the evils, judgment, ordinance. The Greek word is the word D-I-K-A-I-O-M-A, long O. Dikaioma, which equals righteousness. In 1:17 of Romans, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Who knew thoroughly the cause of the evils, the righteous ordinances of whom? God, they knew it. But they chose not to believe it. They chose to worship idols rather than the true God. That they which commit, the word commit is the verb praso, P-R-A-S-S, long O, which means that they which continue to practice such things are worthy of what? Not worthy to teach in the schools and to run your life and mine and to dictate the programs of government under the Constitution of the United States. It says they're worthy of death. Deuteronomy 18. When thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination, evil practices of those nations. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. That's the next thing you're going to see in your community. Firewalkers, sons and daughters walking through white hot coals without getting their feet burned. Don't any of you try it tonight, you might toast your feet. But I've seen it done, and it can be done. But it can only be done by someone who's being described here tonight, who has to get possessed by the adversary and worship an entirely different God than the one we worship. Or that uses divination, or observers of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consoler with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto whom? An abomination to whom? Yep, and the word there is Jehovah, the God in relationship. Right. And because of these abominations, Jehovah thy God, Elohim, doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with Jehovah thy Elohim. Perfect meaning having one what? God. And no other God. That's what the word says. So they which practice, continue practicing these things are worthy of death. But they not only do the same, they continue to practice, but have pleasure in them that do them. The word pleasure is the Greek word spelled S-U-N-E-U-D-O-K-E-O, long O. Literally means to express a hearty approval. They openly express a hearty approval of what's going on. Perhaps it could be translated consent. The reason they do that is because their mind is callous. Because they've been out of fellowship with the true God and have substituted man as God, therefore their mind is callous. So they express a hearty approval. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, speaking lies in what? hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a what? Hot iron. They're calloused. Hot iron, seared with a hot iron. Express a hearty approval in them, and that do or commit them. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. After I finished all this detail work, and what I did for you tonight, I did 15 years ago and threw it all in the wastebasket, which I've done thousands of sheets of paper through the years, because I never knew we'd have a ministry like we have today. I was born and raised in the church, educated in a church college, graduated from a church seminary, and I never knew that there'd ever be a day that we would be doing what we're doing today. And so for maybe 10, 12 years, every time I worked the word and would get that word to fit like a hand in a glove, I'd throw it in the wastebasket. Because I wasn't preparing to teach you. I was preparing to learn the truth myself. And once I'd seen the integrity and accuracy of the word, I threw it away. Perhaps I've thrown away more good work than most men do in two lifetimes. But it doesn't make any difference. I can still work it out when I make up my mind. After I finished all that today, I wrote the following, and I want to read it to you. You can sit and relax yourself. If the true God is not honored, worshiped, and man is thankful, man starts down the downward course, which leads to utter destruction. And he again establishes for himself what the first man did and what the adversary told him in Genesis 3:5. If you'll put something else ahead of the true God, then ye shall be as gods. Man making himself God. Separation between God and man is the infallible sequence of cause and effect. It is broken fellowship, and the first thing is the loss of purity. Genesis 3:10, he said, I was afraid. I hid myself. I was naked. The first sin in Genesis is repeated in all sin in all men who sin. You may take a look at Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the what? Heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the what? Avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Yet thou hast made him, man, a little lower than Elohim, is the text. That's God's opinion when he made man. I'm reading you Psalm 8, one of the greats. Looking at it, what's man that you're mindful of him? God made him just a little lower than himself. But from what I read to you in Romans, man sunk a long ways. Thou hast crowned him with glory and what? Verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the passage. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's man's place that God wanted. But man, because he didn't retain God in his knowledge and worship the true God, he got other gods. Today, Christendom has at least three. That's idolatry. And down the rung goes man and reaches the pathetic state of Romans 1, which we read. In Romans 1 is set the worship of the image like man. Man is worshipped. The dominion is placed in Genesis. God places it under man's foot. Now man replaces his God with man-God, and the very God man sets up, he places the dominion under that God's feet. In Genesis, it said to make one wise. In Romans 1, it says professing themselves wise. Man class sinks lower than any beast ever goes into the degradation, the dishonor, and the shame. There's a fantastic record in Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass, the stupid ass, knows his master's what? Feed box, where he gets his food. The ox knoweth the owner, and the ass knows where he eats. But Israel doth not know. My people do not care. You have never seen a bull on top of another bull with an insertion. Sorry, you know it's true. It's regurgitating for those of us who love the true God. It's unbelievable that man whom God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that man can sink so low. Today's issue of what's going on in your city has a beautiful picture. It says the most beautiful man in the world, and he's a complete woman in the picture. That man could sink so low is almost unbelievable. But that's man. Says in Romans 1:21, they became vain in their imagination. Vanity entered in and it ruled. In Romans 8:20, it says the creation was made subject to vanity. The creation, God's creation, was made subject to vanity, Romans 8:20. In Ephesians 4:17 and 18, it said they walk in the vanity of their own minds, alienated from God. I have a note here. You may want to just put the record down. You can look it up later. Jeremiah 2:5, 2 Kings 17:15. And Psalm 14:1 and following is in part quoted in Romans 3. That'll be coming up with the core sometime later. But I can just see and feel it already back here in Romans 1. Departure from the revealed truth of one God, the revelation of himself and his will in the scripture, they changed the glory and thankfulness of the true God. They were given up to uncleanness. They changed the truth. They were given up to passions of infamy. They changed the natural use, and they were given up to reprobate minds, possession. Control. There are perilous times ahead for us in this administration. I will not go into the book of Revelation tonight. I don't want to. But 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 8, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, ten and 11, 12, that whole section, speak very loudly. The mystery of iniquity that it refers to is the lie, which is idolatry, which is the great lie. I'd like to close with Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, in Romans chapter 1 dealt specifically at that moment with Gentiles. Next week when I meet with the Corps, we will go into the Jews and you'll find they're just as lost as the Gentiles. But we just finished chapter 1. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth, from the citizenship of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who once were afar off were made next of kin by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, both Jew and Gentile, and having destroyed the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, in order that he might create in himself of twain one new man. And so it goes on in that great chapter. Class where believing is in the ascent, the mind gets clearer. All the false grounds and understanding become clarified. That's why Psalm 107:20 said he sent his word and what? And Psalm 119:130 says, about the entrance of thy word giveth what? And ladies and gentlemen, until we come back to the Word, there is no light. It's the entrance of the Word that dispels darkness, because the Word introduces what? Light.